On this episode of the Girl Talk podcast.
One of the things you asked, Tricia, was how do you find these people? Because I agree. I think that's fantastic. And finding somebody to pour into you is tricky. You know, I mean, I think it has to really be somebody that God brings to you.
There, you are listening to the Girl Talk podcast brought to you by Concurrently, the News Coach podcast. My name is Carol.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Tricia.
And we're going to talk about discipleship today because our friend Brittany said, hey, why don't you guys do an episode about discipleship? Aww. So, Brittany, this is for you. We love Brittany. Mm-hmm. She's been a great champion for the Girl Talk podcast since almost the very beginning, yeah. I think. So we love you, Brittany, and we're going to talk about discipleship today. So let's start out with a definition of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Let's throw some words out when you think discipleship, because I think we get weird when we talk about either discipleship or mentoring. I think those two words freak us out for some reason, mm-hmm. or they do me.
So here's what I like to think about when it comes to discipleship.
Okay.
So when you're teaching somebody a new thing, mm-hmm. like anything, you're teaching somebody a new software or whatever, you are first modeling for them.
Okay.
You're doing it. You're doing the activity, whatever it is you're doing, you do it.
Okay.
And the other person watches. Mm-hmm. And then the second step is that you do it together.
Yep.
I do a piece of it. You do a piece of it. We do it together.
Okay.
The third thing you do is the other person does it. The person who's being trained does it. The person who's teaching watches.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that they do is the person who was taught does it. And then other people watch them do it.
Huh.
And so to me, discipleship is the same kind of thing.
Yeah,
it is showing your own spiritual walk, and it is it's modeling mm-hmm. spiritual things for other people.
Yeah.
It is then doing life on life with them mm-hmm. so that you can learn together. And then it's the other person doing and you watching and going, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's grow together spiritually. You're doing a great job growing. And then the last thing is for them to then replicate themselves, them to then disciple other people.
Yeah, it's a good, good framework. I had some, but kind of in a different kind of way, Titus chapter 2, where it talks about the older women. It doesn't use the word discipling, but teaching them the faith. In Titus chapter 2, it says in love, in life, and in work.
Mm.
And so as I was kind of thinking on this theme, how to love people around you, how to live the Christian life, and how to use the gifts that God has given you to serve the body of Christ. So kind of the same thing, but yours is more of a process, which I think is great. What about you, T? What words would you throw out?
The truth is. Yeah. When you said discipleship, I think of Jesus and the disciples.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what this means in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, ever thought about discipling or being disciple. I've never had that concept in my head. I think that word throws me into like Old Testament or New Testament or something like that. So I'm glad to hear what your thoughts are on this, because that's a word that I've just never thought about before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Jesus' model was the best. I mean, he had 12 disciples.
Yeah,
he had a
right.
whole bunch of disciples that were in the, you know, the big group. But then he had 12 that he really did life with. He really trained them and went deep with them. And then he had three
mm-hmm.
that he brought alongside him in very intimate conversations that he really did life with, that he loved in a deeper and more special way, and that they got to be a part of more intimate moments with him, more experiences. They got to see him, you know, struggle even in deeper ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus's model of discipleship is a great model for all of us to implement.
Well, I just think this is a fascinating discussion because it's really taking a biblical concept and what does it look like in real life? And I'd never thought about it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we all have experienced it to some level, but the formal terms of mentoring or discipling kind of get us tripped up on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I think of discipleship, I think of somebody pouring into me and then me pouring into someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think those are more commonly, maybe more acceptable words that we use this day and time other than discipleship and mentoring. I think I've told you all the story before. They connected me with a girl who came to our church, I think for the very first time, and she was very intelligent, and they hooked me up to be her mentor. And she came one time, and we never saw her again. The FBI doesn't know where she's at today, but I scared her off. And so that was my one experience mentoring. But I've learned, the older I get, the more I learn that we are not an island. I, unfortunately, have lived most of my Christian walk as an island.
Oh, yeah.
I think most so of us
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't know why necessarily, other than maybe it was just a fear of being vulnerable, a fear of being known, and yet that's what we want most of all. Like, I've been toying with this idea in my head, like thinking about what is the, you know, people want to be known, and they want to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But do we really want to be known? Like, do we really want to say the hard things that really come to us in our darkest moments in front of somebody else and help them, let them help us kind of see the Jesus part of it, you know? Because sometimes I just want to wallow in my stuff.
Yeah.
And I just want to be where I am. But discipleship, I think, is somebody who will crawl down in the hole with you and sit alongside you and then help you come out, which is often a really hard process.
I don't think everybody has access to that, like opportunities to find a group of people. How do you do that?
What a great thing for our churches to wrestle with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to have specific intentional discipleship programs. Our church tried that for a little bit, and it was very intense, and so it didn't replicate because it was so intense. I hope that we'll, you know, revisit it and do it in a little less intense kind of way. But we had,
but here's the thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think discipleship and mentoring at its very heart is supposed to be intense.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to speak on that because I reached out to my church at one point. This was several years ago because I really felt like I needed a mentor. I used the word mentor because I hadn't thought about it as a discipleship. But I'm learning from you all that living life together and learning from one another is discipleship. So that's good. So I reached out and I said, I'd really like to be paired up with an older believer who might be able to help me through some things in my life. So he paired me up with this wonderful woman. She is fantastic. I adore her. And we met maybe five times at a restaurant, like once a month. But the problem was, when I came and I sat down in front of her, I wrapped everything up with a neat little bow. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell her any of the things I was really struggling with. I told her how this is how God's been working in my life, and I'm doing great, and you should be proud of me because I'm saying all the things that I think you want me to say.
Right.
So I think if I had that opportunity now, I'd approach it differently. Mm. But I think I was fearful of really
being known. Right.
Even though I kind of wanted to, I still thought she expected me to end it with a statement about how Jesus has done that in my life. And so I did that. Mm. I worked real hard to do that.
Becomes a performance measure and not an accountability partner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think discipleship is a long game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a short term thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I will say that I've had mentors. I still have one mentor to this day that I can call her and say, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling. And she's been with me, gosh, I guess since, not in the same way all the time, but she's been part of my life since I was in college. And to this day, I can call her and say, here's what's going on. And she'll speak truth into my life.
How'd you meet her?
I was actually at a counselor at a youth camp. And she and her husband brought their teens to that camp. And that's how I first met her. For a period of time, we actually went to the same church together during this time. Now she's moved on. I don't live there anymore. So our interactions now are more, they're farther apart
long
than they
distance.
Used to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when I first when I separated and went through my divorce, I met with her every week. And we both drove an hour to meet at this little restaurant.
Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
I needed somebody to love me through it. And she did that. Mm. You know, I don't know there were any like great epiphany moments where she shared something that I didn't already know. But sometimes when you're in those painful places, you just need somebody to believe for you mm-hmm. for a little while, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I feel like discipleship is the long game.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times where I have had people who for seasons in my life. So I think there's some different kinds of discipleship, people who pour into you during a specific time. And I'll use this as a, for instance, grief share.
Yes.
When you went through your grief, it was so nice to have
yes.
people pouring into you
oh,
who
yes.
understood
mm-hmm.
what you were going through.
Mm-hmm.
That is seasonal mm-hmm. In your journey, but I still like feel like that's
yep.
discipleship in
okay.
a way.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there are times that we go through things that only people who have been there really understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think we're so quick to put a name on something, but I think it can have like a lot of different facets. I think there's a long game discipleship, people that you walk with forever who've known your story since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
There are seasonal discipleship people who come into your life during a season of going through something. But I just think it's important to have somebody pouring into you, like the situation, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back on my life and I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would not be where I am today if those people had not done those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things you asked, Tricia, was how do you find these people?
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree. I think that's fantastic. And finding somebody to pour into you is tricky. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think it has to really be somebody that God brings to you.
Mm-hmm.
That if it's something you're really hungry for, you really have to ask God to bring you someone and to make it clear to you that you need to go up and have a conversation with somebody to say, hey, would you be willing to meet with me on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Can I learn from you?
And you have to be honest once you do it.
Yeah. But I think that for too many years, maybe I didn't even really pray about it, but I just thought, God will bring somebody and that wasn't at all how it happened. It was spending time together and seeing, and it did. There was never a conversation about, will you mentor me?
Yeah.
Never once was there a conversation about that.
It just naturally unfolded.
But it naturally unfolded as we spent time together and as they got to know me a little bit better. And she's not that much older than me, but far enough ahead in life where, you know, when I met her, I was single. And she was married, had been married for a number of years and had children and had been in youth ministry for a while. So she kind of knew the progression. But there's even one period of time that she calls my wayward years where no one heard from me and they thought I'd dropped off the face of the earth because nobody could find me.
Mm.
I was hiding from them all, mm. you know, because I wasn't living life like I should. Mm. And we laugh about that now. But even during those times, she was like, I never stopped praying for you. And then we were reconnected after that time. You know, all mm-hmm. these things. But I think for too long, I sat back and thought, well, if God wants me to have that, he'll bring someone to me. And I don't necessarily think that that's true. Sometimes I think you do have to have the conversation, but sometimes I think you just start building relationships with
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
especially now post COVID. I think now more than ever before, we need relationships. We need to get off these stupid devices
yep.
and start looking at each other in the eyes mm-hmm. and saying, how are you? I mean, like, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Not, yeah, and not from a judgmental standpoint
right.
at all for somebody to say, oh, I see that you're not, because, I mean, we've all had that person who shows up in your life and wags their finger at you. That's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have somebody who just gets to know you and loves you and you, your lives kind of are, if it's somebody just a little bit farther ahead of you who, you know, maybe it's kids, maybe it's farther along in their career, some kind of something where they're just a little bit further ahead of where you are. I just think that's so valuable. But I also think that there are parts of your story that God can't redeem until you look behind you and see somebody who is struggling and come alongside them. Now, I will say this. Discipleship is not, hey, would you meet with me once a month? Mm-hmm. Discipleship is more like, let's talk or text or get together on a regular basis. And I say that because we also can say, we're going to get together for 6 weeks. And after that 6 weeks, well, you know, the likelihood of something not popping up during the 6 weeks is pretty good. And maybe in the seventh week, your life falls apart. You need to have somebody you have built a relationship with who can come alongside you then and has a platform to speak truth into your lives. Mm-hmm. And I just think we put so many definitions on it. And we've done such a good job at compartmentalizing things that we don't allow ourselves to have real relationships within the church. And so when somebody goes off the rails and finds themselves addicted or finds themselves making a moral failure, we're all like, oh, but it's because we haven't built those relationships where we can trust each other and hold each other accountable.
I do think, though, that when you're looking at the long game, that can be really overwhelming. The idea of, oh, I've got to find somebody that I'm willing to have to do life with for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Like getting married.
Yeah, it can be really overwhelming. And so at the same time, while I totally agree that there is a long game in discipleship, sometimes it just starts with saying, hey, can we have coffee?
For sure.
And then seeing where it goes from there, building those relationships, like you said, Carol, but just starting with that, hey, let's have coffee.
Yeah.
And then if you find a connection with somebody, fantastic, and keep having coffee. And if you don't find a connection with somebody, then that's fine. Find somebody else and have coffee with somebody else and see if there's a connection. But it starts with just saying, first of all, praying and saying, God, I really want somebody in my life who I can do life with, who can hold me accountable, who can, help me through the struggles, mm-hmm. who is just a friend, who's a real, deep, honest, legit friend.
Who has a strong faith.
Absolutely.
Because that's I think key. We're always being discipled. Now that I'm using this word because we've been talking about it, I think there's a chance to be discipled by anyone in your life because they're pouring into you and you're listening to them and you're responding to them. And I think God has put in my mind to make sure that I'm getting discipled. I'm taking in wisdom from the right person. Mm. Somebody who has a biblical worldview, somebody who will stand up and call me out on something, somebody who cares, somebody who knows Jesus and is walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. because we're getting poured into wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're getting poured into.
For sure.
So making sure
somebody's going to fill you up.
Yeah.
Right. And that person better know Jesus or they're going to lead you astray.
Yeah. Right.
I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
Important piece.
So building relationships, so key to discipleship. So just
it's
have
key
coffee.
To our walk, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Key to our walk.
And I now knowing that the relationships that I have and the people that will speak into my life, I look back now and I wonder why I spent so much time, like I said, when I was hiding from people or living, because I knew I was wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and do that over again.
Yeah.
And we don't want you to live with those, you know, regrets and what could have beens, you know. But I also think there's a measure of healing that comes from your journey when you're able to walk alongside somebody who's now behind you.
Yeah.
Because we're all old enough now where there are people behind us. Yeah. You know, there are people who are coming alongside in our groups and in our churches that are going through similar things that we've all been through. Yeah. And you can scoot up beside them and put an arm around them because you know what it's like to be there. And you can also disciple. Now, I want to just say one thing quickly here. When I say the word disciple and you kind of cringe, that does not mean you have to know everything. Mm-hmm. It only means you have to know one thing. Right. That is Jesus.
Yes.
That is always the right answer. Sometimes there'll be situations that you're in, and I know there have been situations that I have been in very recently that I didn't know the answer. Mm. I didn't know what the answer was. And I had to parse out, these are my feelings, and this is the truth. And the answer is probably somewhere, you know, in the intersection of those two things. But I don't know the answer flat out. And I'll tell you that one of the things that has helped me the most is knowing that I don't have to have all the answers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not up to me. Like, they're not looking to me to have the answers. And not my job is not to have the answers. My job is to point them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Because have all the answers.
Have all that. Right. Yeah. But that's a hard, because people, when they say mentoring or discipleship, you automatically go into this weird kind of caste system where you have to know a certain number of Bible verses or been through the, you know the Roman road without looking or something like that, you know. I mean, we just automatically go there. It doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. It just means you have to know where to point people. So don't feel like you have to have a seminary degree to disciple anybody. I'm getting off that.
Yeah. Well, and you need to be able to be vulnerable.
Sure.
And share your own story. So, I mean, and all of us can do that. We all have our testimonies. But if you're going to disciple somebody, you have to, the number one thing, knowing Jesus, number two thing, being willing to talk about your own stuff, because that's how other people grow.
Yeah. You know what I realized in that process too? This was for me, might not be for you, but when I was unwilling to tell my story, it was because I still wanted to be the hero.
Ouch.
Sorry. I said it was just for me.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, like, think about my experience when I wrapped it up with a bow every time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to say the right words even if you don't feel them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not very helpful.
No. Mm-hmm. No. So I had to get over myself in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But I think it was Beth Moore that said, you know, I've reached so many more people broken than I would have whole, you know. And I think that's so true for all of our stories. Like, our perfect lives don't point anybody to Jesus. Mm-hmm. They point to us. And so our brokenness can reach so many more people. Yep. So
it's the cracks in the jar that the light gets out.
That's right.
There you go.
100%. 100%. So thank you so much for listening today. We hope that this will drive you to not only look for someone to pour into you, but also will challenge you to take somebody under your wing.
Yeah.
Invite somebody to coffee. Start developing relationships with that younger generation so you can indeed speak truth and life into them as well. If you got questions, things that you want us to know, if you've got more answers than we've got, well, welcome.
Yes,
you're
sure
welcome
you
to get in touch. girltalk@thelightfm.org. That's our email address. We want to say thank you to Concurrently, the News Coach podcast, for sponsoring this week's edition of Girl Talk. And hey, if you want to help us out, if you want to be a part of what Girl Talk is all about and sharing the gospel with other people, would you do us a great big favor? You can make a difference just by rating and reviewing this podcast wherever you get podcasts. So whatever platform you listen on, there's a review, there's a rate. It just helps more people find out about the Girl Talk podcast. That's not us promoting ourselves. That is us promoting Jesus. We want more people to know Jesus because of this little thing called the Girl Talk podcast. So if you'd do that for us, we'd be awfully grateful. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time we gather around these microphones for the next Girl Talk podcast.